I just mentioned the Auckland Harbour Bridge. Well, those problems have highlighted a weakness in the city's planning, with the alternative traffic route also becoming gridlocked this morning. There's still no word on how long it'll take before the bridge is back and able to have all its lanes open after damage caused to the structure on Friday. Well, New Zealand Herald's senior writer, Simon Wilson, and a good friend of our show, has been focusing on the Super City in the lead-up to the general election, and he joins me now. Hi, Simon.
Kia ora, Jesse.
So, National has been talking about a second harbour crossing, something that they've been supporting for a while, in fairness. Is it time for that second crossing so that when something like this happens, Auckland doesn't grind to a halt?
It is fair also to say Labour has planned for another harbour crossing too. And in fact, they brought it forward on the plan, the Auckland Transport Alignment Program that was first introduced under the National Government had that new harbour crossing on it in a 30-year plan. Labour has brought it forward. They haven't said what kind of crossing it will be, probably tunnels, but they haven't said what will be in the tunnels. National have said they want to have work done on a road and rail tunnel system, because it's probably two tunnels going each way. Have that started by 2028. So they're a little ahead of Labour on it, but both have the idea that there would be a tunnel crossing. And could I just mention, it's although everybody likes to say second harbour crossing, the second harbour crossing exists. It's the Green Heights Bridge. It's part of the Western Ring Route around the city, and it is at the moment the alternative route that is yes, busy, but being used by trucks and other vehicles that want to can't get over the harbour bridge.
That's the way everyone came to work today, was it?
Well, at different times of the day, it was quicker or a little bit quicker. Certainly never slower in terms of getting into town if you lived in the north of the city.
So you're keen on this idea of a tunnel, are you?
No, I'm not. I don't have a firm view on what should happen. The big issue to me is that the resilience of the city in terms of transport can't continue to be measured in the number of roads we've got going in and out. You can't just keep building roads because there might be some kind of terrible breakdown at some point, as we have at the moment, and you've got enough capacity to keep everything flowing smoothly. If you do that, you're going to have just roads and roads and roads everywhere. It's a little bit like the holiday highway argument. If you built enough roading in Auckland for everybody to be able to drive smoothly in and out of the city on a holiday weekend, it would be just a disaster for the rest of the time. So that's not how you have to think about it. The critical issue for Auckland is that if we're going to have more efficient roads, there are two things we need to do, and they both relate to rail. For commuters, we need a much bigger and better rapid transit system, and that means rail, probably light rail. And for freight, we also have to stop thinking about roads, motorways, which we fill up with container trucks going over the Harbour Bridge, getting clogged up on the Southern Motorway going through Newmarket and so on. We have to stop thinking like that and start thinking about how do we really efficiently transport goods by rail.
So you are essentially saying we don't need an extra crossing for cars. We need to reduce our reliance on cars and other forms of road transport.
The thing that happens is that whenever anybody puts up a plan and says it's going to be all modes, so we're going to cater for more roads for people who are driving, and we're going to have rail as well, and we're going to have cycling and so on. But if the focus is we're going to cater for everybody, we're going to cater for every mode, then in practice what that means is that you're favouring roads. The strategic goal, in my view, has to be that you reduce the number of vehicles using the roads, and that means you've got to make it more attractive to people to use it, for using rail, buses as well. But buses are not a long-term solution, because you can't keep having more and more buses coming into the city. You just have a central city full of buses, and that would be its own kind of nightmare. It's got to be rail, much more efficient, much more able to carry a lot of people. And if it's a light rail system, you can start thinking in terms of the North Shore. You can start thinking in terms of a whole network that crosses the harbour. and spans out right around the North Shore and isn't just one line as we have at the moment with the motorway.
So you're imagining some light rail, tram or whatever, heading over the Auckland Harbour Bridge as a way for people to get to work in the morning?
Well, light rail probably could go over the existing bridge, or it could go, in a tunnel, or could go on another bridge. I don't have a kind of strong view on exactly how that should work, but the strategy has to be in relation to mass transit rather than the idea that you cater for everybody to be able to continue driving their cars.
That wouldn't solve the problem. With the trucks, though, would it?
Well, the trucks, you have to think about that in terms of what's a better way to deal with freight. The great advantage of the idea that Auckland's port gets moved to Northport near Whangarei and also part of it to Tauranga is that it isn't simply a proposal to move the port. It's a proposal to transfer the bulk of freight transport onto rail and to have a big central inland port or a freight hub somewhere near Kumeu in the Auckland northwest, served by road and rail, but particularly by rail, which would mean that you were not bringing containers over the harbour bridge. You could reduce it right down to that. You're not bringing them over the harbour bridge, you're not clogging up the middle of the city. You're making the harbour bridge much more resilient for other users. And at the same time, you're thinking anew about how we move freight around the country.
So what will happen post October 17th?
Well, I think that's a very good question. The thing is that right now, because we know that whoever wins the election and forms the government, there is going to be an unprecedented infrastructure spend. There is going to be a program of spending on transport and other infrastructure that is bigger than we've ever seen, and will swallow up all the money available for this. So that if you've got a project and it's not in the new government's infrastructure program over the next 10, 15 years, you can probably kiss goodbye to it altogether. So it's really critical that in the thinking of the new government, they think strategically about Auckland's future needs and not simply about solving an immediate problem here and another one there. They've got to kind of reset the whole thing. And as I said before, that means you've got to stop thinking about roads as being the key or the only way in which we seriously move freight around. And we've got to stop thinking about having a transport network that is focused on only on private motor vehicles. There will always be private motor vehicles. But, of course, they benefit enormously when you've got a good public transport system where 10, 15, 20, 30% of current drivers are catching a train instead.
Simon Wilson, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Simon's a senior writer for the New Zealand Herald with his view on what this problem with the Harbour Bridge indicates about Auckland's transport arrangements.